Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Rolling.
Freedom.
What's up, Nima?
Fiends.
So, Democrats and Republicans are like Crips and Bloods. It's the name of this cast.
Is that the name of this cast?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, why don't you explain yourself, other than the blue and red?
Well, actually, it was something that I heard someone on CNN. It was an interview with a union guy in Wisconsin who was complaining about, you know, how people weren't doing his bidding, basically. But he was wrong in what he was saying. He was like, well, they're all just screwing me over and not giving me my government teat.
I think there's a distinction here, though. I think maybe people, you know, on the streets, like the lowly gang members, the normal Republican or Democrat, you know, they're more like the Crips and Bloods. I think the establishment types are more like pro wrestlers, where they fight against each other and have this high drama about debt ceilings and grand deals and bargains, when really they're just pushing the same old crap.
I think they're professional wrestlers crossed with, like, drug cartel leaders.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, gang members at that level. Where are they? You know, Escobar.
Pablo Escobar. Yeah.
Yeah, that guy, like, invented narco-terrorism. And he was part of the government, too. He was part of the Congress there for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I mean, there's not much of a leap. In fact, a lot of people have done research and written books on, you know, Bush and Clinton family ties to drugs, and how, you know, they want to perpetuate the drug war because it's a cash cow, like we explain in our movie. I mean,
yeah,
that's how a lot of people make money.
I don't really have much to say about the debt collapse threats that are going on, other than I agree with you that it's just, you know, shell game to divert from what's really going on. We'll just talk about what's really going on.
All right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. We don't need to buy into it, other than to say that I think Jim Rogers put it best, especially when people are talking about Moody's and all the ratings agencies, they're going to downgrade us to AA from AAA, oh no. I mean, Jim Rogers, you know, the famed investor, he was on an interview and he basically said, the United States is already downgraded. Nobody really pays attention. You know, investors aren't going to pay attention to Moody's because Moody's hasn't downgraded us yet. You know, people know America can't pay back all its debts. It's obvious. You don't need a ratings agency that's controlled by the establishment to tell you that.
Well, I heard one funny thing, though. John McCain called the Tea Partiers hobbits who live in a make-believe Middle Earth.
He kind of looks like a hobbit, though.
The Tea Party, they're trying to make an effort, but it's like, what they really need to do if they wanted to fix the debt is just get rid of the DEA and the ATF. That would go a long way.
Well,
you know,
I mean,
it's all these half measures.
I like, you know, Ron Paul's idea of just defaulting on all the fake money the Fed printed. I mean, they had no right to print that money in our name in the first place. They have no right to devalue our dollar like that. Just call that all the bull crap it was and liquidate it. You don't even have to liquidate it. You just say this was fraudulent. These debts don't exist anymore, and then you do away with the Fed.
A friend of mine got kicked off of this Facebook group called Tea Party Patriots for mentioning Ron Paul.
Yeah, and that's disgusting. And that, I think that brings up a good metaphor I saw in your notes for what the Tea Party's become. Related to punk rock, go ahead and give us that metaphor.
What's called the Tea Party now is like the original Ron Paul Tea Party it sprang out of and got corrupted from, in the same way that Avril Lavigne is punk rock compared to Black Flag.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Tea Party now is just, and, you know, I hate to say it because it's not really an organization, but I think Sean Hannity's Tea Party and Rush Limbaugh's Tea Party and the Tea Party that you hear of in the mainstream media, that is Avril Lavigne, and Ron Paul is Black Flag.
Yeah. Speaking of Black Flag, their old singer, Henry Rollins, did you know he donates a lot of money to the Southern Poverty Law Center?
I think I saw that on your Facebook today. That is upsetting. Very upsetting.
Yeah, it's and a friend of mine asked me, like, what's wrong with the Southern Poverty Law Center? And I said, they started out as what could seem like a good thing, a watchdog group to keep an eye on racist organizations. But as they grew in power, they started to add non-racist, non-violent constitutionalists and libertarians like Ron Paul, Sheriff Richard Mack, and Judge Napolitano onto their lists of scary people to keep an eye on. They paint non-scary people with a scary brush. Basically, if you believe in the Constitution, the SPLC considers you on par with violent neo-Nazis. And I think they did this as partly as their personal agenda. They're really, really far left and really statist and really, you know, the government will fix everything.
Well, they really are. And I think they think that government's the only way to fix racism. And they look at things like the civil rights movement falsely. And they think that the only savior for the minorities is the government. When, as you can see from the stats these days, what the governments have done to minorities, you know, even in the other direction, as far as affirmative action and handouts, has hurt the black community and the Hispanic community more than anybody thinks it has. It's hurt them tremendously.
Absolutely. And I think that the SPLC also just expanded their scope to get more donations. They got $84 million in donations last year.
And they've also,
yeah, and they've also become an NGO, you know, a non-governmental organization who helps the DHS with suggestions of who to go after. So they're basically a bunch of busybodies who put people who are no threat to anyone on watch lists to be f***ed with and have their civil rights violated. And they go after Ron Paul because some racist people like him. And I think that that's like, that means nothing. You know, it's like the Unabomber was a fan of Al Gore and had one of Al Gore's books in his shack. Does that make Al Gore like the Unabomber?
No. Yeah, guilt by association is nonsense.
Maybe Al Gore is like the Unabomber. Well, they both want to use violence to supposedly protect the environment.
Yeah, I think that's the most important distinction to make in any issue, is you look at who's trying to use violence and who's not. And I think the core libertarian principle is nonviolence. And that's, Lou Rockwell wrote an article recently basically saying that we're really the only game in town with that. I mean, every other political philosophy, it seems, accounts for violence in certain circumstances other than self-defense. Whereas if you're an anarchist, if you're on our side of the libertarian fence, violence is always wrong unless somebody is coming at you with a gun or coming at you to harm you or your family in some other way. And then I don't even consider it violence. I think if you defend yourself from somebody, you've prevented violence from happening, because the act of self-defense is not – I don't consider it violent. It's not aggression. It's morally upright to defend yourself. So you've prevented a violent act by, you know, getting rid of the murderer who is coming to murder you, because you've prevented a violent act from occurring in the universe.
Worms. Worms to your mother.
Exactly.
Not your mother. But
my,
you know,
yeah, I'm about to see my mom. She's picking me up from the airport tomorrow.
Excellent. She's a freedom fiend.
She is a freedom fiend. My mom, God bless her heart, she listens to and watches and she follows me. It's very supportive. I love her. Love you, Mom. In fact, hasn't she called in on radio interviews we've done
yes,
before?
Yes, she has. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
And that's slightly embarrassing to you, but not anything about her, just because it's like, Mom, I'm trying to...
I'm trying to be a cool freedom fiend, Mom.
I'm trying to be a cool freedom fiend. And then she calls in and talks about how cute you were as a little boy and how you've always opposed authority, even as a little kid.
Well, I have.
So I want to do a shout out to the House of Madness in Sydney, Nova Scotia, who it's like a coffee shop in someone's home, like a hangout center and private library, and they play Freedom Fiends there.
That is awesome.
And they want to show our film.
Oh, well, we should totally let them. They should have a viewing.
I will totally, yeah, I'm working on it. We're still working on trying to get something in Czech Republic. Both of the things that I was working on fell through, but we'll find something.
Yeah. We should get it shown somewhere here in the Northwest, if possible, too.
Well,
I guess I could do work some legwork. Yeah, I could do some legwork. I get off my ass and do something about that.
Get Chris Novoselic to show it.
Yeah, actually, one of my colleagues at the news station, she's a new girl, and she was listening to our cast and said it made her burst out laughing out loud in Barnes & Noble when she was listening to it. So we've got.
She was listening on earbuds, not it wasn't being played over the speakers.
No,
in Barnes
I doubt
and
Barnes
Noble.
And Noble would
it should
play us,
be.
Yeah. I have trouble finding Judge Napolitano books in Barnes & Noble. So, I mean, they're there. They're just always hidden behind a bunch of Sean Hannity books or something.
So, 3,700 post offices are slated to close, yet
yes.
It's still illegal to compete with the post office. Talk about the guy who competed with the post office. And when I say that, it's, you know, I mean, UPS sort of competes with the post office, but it, what is illegal is delivering a letter for less than the post office charges. You can't do that.
Right. Well, and UPS and FedEx, their parcel delivery, their packages, you know.
They do letters too, but their letter, you know, it's like $11 to deliver a letter overnight for
them. Right, right. There was a guy named Lysander Spooner who, you know, sort of tried to start his own gig. And, of course, the government was not having it. And, you know, he wrote about it and how ridiculous it was. I'm not an expert on Lysander Spooner, but it's been tried before and it produced a lot of great libertarian work. So if you're interested in hearing a tale of somebody fighting against the man, go ahead and Google Lysander Spooner.
A lot of people are kind of religious about him, too. I've, like, some people put his last name as their last name on internet groups. And there have been several times when I've been discussing something or, you know, sparring with someone on the internet, and they're like, you don't know what you're talking about. You need to read page 98 of Lysander Spooner's book, blah, blah, blah. I hate people like that. I hate people who, like, are Bible thumpers for anything, especially liberty. It's like, dude, you live in your mother's basement and you've never supported yourself. Don't tell me about economic freedom.
Well, I think it is relevant and important to cite people, but it's like we've talked about before with the magic number, the magic words.
It's more like they're giving me a citation, though, like a ticket for not knowing.
It's like, you know, it's that like kind a you must cite. Write sentences, or it's like a Hail Mary.
Yes.
You must read 38 pages of Lysander Spooner.
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, did you see that new children's book called My Parents Open Carry?
Yeah, I checked out the website. I think it's great. I'd like to order a copy. I probably will one day. Does it address concealed carry too?
I don't know, but I think there should be a whole series of children's books about gun ownership. I was thinking of some. I was thinking of Susie's Mommy Has Two Glocks and Everybody Shoots.
I love that one. Everybody Shoots. I wish it were true. Unfortunately, it's not.
Have you been following this thing about the guy that was jacked up by the police in Canton, Ohio for legal concealed carry?
Oh my God, yeah, I watched that video last night. Will Grigg put it on an article that he was writing, and I encourage you guys, can we link it on the webpage?
Yeah, I'll link it.
I think people need to watch it. I mean, you could fast forward through the first 5 minutes or so. It's just the cops pulling up. I would advise watching the whole thing just to get a sense of just what an empowered prick this cop was. It's just disgusting.
He threatened to kill the guy. He's like, I should put my Glock against your head and pump 10 rounds in it.
The cops pull up on this guy. They tell some girl who was supposedly a prostitute to run off. And then they search the back of this guy's car, who was the driver. They don't even address the driver at all. And he's just sitting there politely while the cop searches.
Well, they kept interrupting him, too. I mean,
when they finally do address him, yeah, he comes up and the guy says, I have a carry, I carry, and the cop's just like yelling at him, like, get out of the car. So he was trying to express that I have a carry permit, I have a
gun. Yeah, Ohio is a state where you are legally required to tell a cop if he pulls you over or stops you on the street and you have a concealed carry permit and you have a gun, you legally have to tell the cop. Unlike Wyoming, you don't have to do that here. Do you know if that's the case in Utah or not?
I do not know if it's the case in Utah. I don't know if it's the case where I live right now. Although I would do it depending on the situation. I mean, I guess that's the problem with laws is, you know, if it was just a routine traffic stop and I didn't think it was going to go there, I probably wouldn't.
So basically this cop didn't give the guy a chance to say anything. And when the guy finally got it out, the cop was like, why didn't you tell me? And just barraged him with threats of violence.
He said he should have stepped back, pulled his Glock 40, pumped 10 rounds in him and watched him drop, and then he said, and I wouldn't have even lost any sleep.
Yeah, and this thing went viral. I mean, it was even on like the news. It was on Fox News, it was on national news, and it was on, I mean, even people who don't believe in a citizen's right to carry, some of those people are like, God, this cop went too far, you know?
Good. I'm glad. I mean, I don't really watch mainstream news, so I'm glad to see that they picked it up. I thought this was just something in the blogosphere that was going to get glossed over. I'm very glad. Fox played it?
There's an audio clip on YouTube of the head of the city council in Canton, Ohio, responding to that and just really anti-gun and basically saying, you know, the cop was totally in the right, and he was complaining that he'd gotten calls from out of state complaining about that, because there was kind of a, hey, everybody should call this idiot.
I did want to make a comment reflecting the out-of-town emails that we have all received from people who do not live in this community. do not know our police, do not know the firefighters, do not know our public servants, our employees, know nothing about the city of Canton. But because a video went viral on the internet, they're excoriating the city of Canton out of this particular incident. This is, in my judgment, a symptom of this arming, literally the arming of our population with handguns and the flooding of handguns into our communities. These laws that allow our citizens to carry a concealed weapon at a university, in a school, in a bar where liquor is served, in automobiles, in the worst part of our neighborhoods where there's high crime, drugs, prostitution, and somebody is packing a Ruger at 1:30 in the morning, that's not acceptable in our society. And I told one caller who called me from Phoenix, Arizona yesterday, who complained about our police and this particular incident, I said to him, you want to know something, my friend? You can blame our city, but you're next. Because as long as these laws permit people to carry weapons under the worst of circumstances and in the worst situations, there are deaths waiting to happen, either police officers or citizens who think by arming themselves, they're somehow safe.
Wasn't that horrible, Nima?
Disgusting.
Yes, yes.
Well, I want to see the cop fired. I mean, right now he's on paid vacation, which is standard protocol in any place. You get put on what they call administrative leave. I don't want the guy sitting in his underwear drinking beer, getting paid for it while I have to bust my ass.
If a citizen did that, he'd be in prison.
He'd be in prison and, getting butt raped right now. And this guy's watching girls get butt raped and drinking beer and getting paid for it. On the internet porn, of course.
Yeah, but well, we don't know that he's actually watching girls get butt raped or drinking beer in his underwear, but we could picture that that is what someone would do like him in their off time. So, speaking of tyranny,
Today.
Hugo Chavez is now ruling his country via Twitter. Did you read that? Like, yeah, can you imagine just waking up and saying, like, all right, today I want to outlaw this on your Twitter feed?
Yeah. Oh, that'd be horrible. I mean, that's worse than Orwell even envisioned with the telescreen.
I know.
I mean, oh, just about there. And I don't know, you know, that could happen here. I mean, we talked in an earlier cast about how the feds have pushed for phone manufacturers to be required to put a chip in there that would allow Homeland Security to text you whenever they need to. So they could just text everybody their Amber Alerts or Terror Threat Orange or whatever terror threat they decide. It'd basically be like living in an airport all the time.
Whatever the nefarious they want to do.
Yes.
You know what the nefarious they is?
The evil government?
It's John Johnson came up with that. His buddy of mine on Facebook.
Sort of like a playoff of the royal we?
Yeah, it's like the royal we. He calls it the nefarious they.
Yeah. Well, I actually read an article recently about how we is one of the most dangerous words in the English language. And, you know, I see that a lot in the news industry. And I remember one reporter back when I was a producer would always try to say we and R and, you know, R cops and we need to – and we say this and that. And it just almost disgusts me. In fact, I don't know if I should do this, but I'm going to read you what I was supposed to read as the last sentence of a story I did today. I had a very bad day at work, by the way. This was the last sentence as written by the person who, you know, edits my stuff. Which means it's in everyone's interest to keep our jail as filled to capacity as we can.
Ugh.
Yeah, I definitely changed the pronouns on that before I read it.
Ugh. That's horrible. What was the context?
I don't want to go too far into it, but it was basically about how the jail here, they rent out their beds, and so they get money from other agencies to throw, you know, people from other parts of the state in jail.
Ugh. So you well hydrated, Nima? You staying cool in this heat?
You know, we've actually been fairly spared from the national heat wave here in Washington. I don't think it's gotten above 95, and it was 80, you know, the past couple weeks. It was in the mid-80s. It's nice.
Yeah, it hasn't gotten above 95 either here, which, you know, sounds hot, but really isn't. But it kind of is to me. I've kind of gotten used to Wyoming from SoCal. And
yeah, I can imagine.
I went shooting today, but I went out really early. I went with DJ. You know, we share a car, and I, you know, drove her to work and then took the car and then went out shooting and then came back home and then went back at like 8. She worked till 8 and her up. But it was nice, and I shot really well. I went to that place that where we shot a lot of the movie. I'm going to beep that out. It's our secret place no one can know about. But,
okay.
You know, the one that's on the left up on the hill and then kind of down under that tree where it's real calm and nice.
Right, and, right. Where we shot the scenes at?
Yeah, the Jay Tizzle scenes, yes, where we shot the Jay Tizzle scenes.
You can edit that out, too.
Yep. Yeah, it was real nice. I shot some 22, some 308, and some Glock 40 and just did really well with all of it.
Glock 40, you mean 40 caliber Glock, or you mean Glock model 40?
40 caliber Glock model 23.
Okay,
and, cool. It was kind of neat. It was kind of funny. I was sitting for most of it, except the handgun stuff, and I was sitting under the tree on a... I took a moving blanket out there like I usually do, and just kind of like... It was very meditative. The funny thing was I could smell cow poo. There was like cow patties all around me, which cow poo doesn't smell bad compared to, you know... Dog or poo. Human. Yeah. And it kind of like took me back to being like 6 years old and being on my grandpa's farm. It's kind of neat.
Yeah. Yeah. Cow poo is an important thing. I mean, it's important fertilizer and, you know, it helps out the grass.
It's destroying the ozone layer. Well, I heard that the cows do worse to the environment than all the cars combined, but that's just what the cow grabbers say. The people that want everyone to be vegetarian and use one piece of toilet paper every time they poo.
Speaking of the one piece of toilet paper bit, that was Sheryl Crow.
Yeah. You know, Sheryl Crow, she said everyone should do that and wanted the government to mandate it. She performed at the Cheyenne Rodeo recently. Yeah, I was really surprised with it. And, like, nobody complained. You know, she didn't get booed off the stage or anything. People liked her, which is kind of surprising to me because she's a gun grabber and she's anti-rodeo. It's like, who booked her there?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I guess people didn't know or people didn't care. Plus, Cheyenne is kind of like Denver North, really.
It really is.
Cheyenne really isn't Wyoming.
Yeah.
It's North Denver, and it's very much different than a place like Casper or Riverton or anywhere else in Wyoming.
So, speaking of Casper, Natrona County is at it again, going after the car collectors. Did you follow that at all?
I followed it when I was there reporting, and I saw that you put a link here on my notes. What are you talking about, the city of Casper, or is this Natrona?
Natrona County. Yeah, it's the board there.
They're going after them again. It must not be an election year right now. Is
right,
that the case?
Right.
So yeah. What are they doing now? I remember they sent out a letter at one point saying they were going to start fining people.
They're trying to like compromise with the car owners to where they only have to pay $300 to have their cars on their property for each one.
God, on their own property. Yeah. Who really owns property when you live in America? That's the real point.
People show up open carrying and yell at them, and then they bring it down to $100.
Yeah. And people are like, oh, thank you, thank you. Yeah. Not in Wyoming.
No, they're not.
In Wyoming, there's still a lot of great people who realize that the government is ridiculous when they're trying to do stuff like that. Ridiculous.
I know. It's a kind of weird place politically because it's like...
They don't think the government's ridiculous when they ban spice.
You know, the libertarian candidate and the kind of the independent who was running, who was kind of a Constitution Party guy, combined, those guys got like 20% of the vote in the gubernatorial election, which is way more than that kind of candidate gets in other states. In other states, generally, a Libertarian Party candidate pretty much across the board gets like 3-5% of the vote.
Right.
It's really weird. It's a lot of the people here are very statist in a way. You know, I did what a lot of people do, which is read Moulin Labe and think it's a day planner rather than fiction and then move here and realize that...
Oh, how I wish Moulin Labe were true.
You know, and then you realize you get involved in politics here and just it makes you an anarchist or, you know, a minarchist.
Well, politics is politics wherever you go. And to me, the point is people need to realize how ridiculous it is to let somebody else tell you what to do.
It is so square.
It's square. Why do people think that that's a good thing to have somebody else tell you what to do? I never understood that ever.
Well, because they believe the lie that they are represented. And it, really, it's like, you know, how can a 500,000 people be represented by 90 people when there's a 500,000 different opinions?
Not only that, but what is the logic in delegating the duty to make decisions to somebody else? What is the logic? If that's my plea is, oh, I want somebody to be my representative, so that they can tell other people to tell me what to do. That's even worse. Why don't you just tell yourself what to do? Why don't you just make your own decisions? I think a lot of it is laziness. There are people that go through life and they don't want to think about everything. They just want to float.
Well, technically at this point, with the internet, you could have direct democracy, which, you know, I don't think would be an improvement because democracy is 51% can tyrannize 49%. But, you know, really representatives are passe. They existed in a time where, you know, it took 2 weeks to get a letter across the country. And now it's like, why do you need representatives? Why not just have everybody vote on everything?
You don't. And the other thing I've noticed, and anybody in the news media who knows anything will probably back me up on this. Whenever there's public meetings, whenever there's public input for some new law they're trying out or some new thing they're thinking about changing or some tax hike, they don't care about the public input. They'll have their meeting.
Well, we've talked about that. I forget the name of it, but there's a technique that's used to spin that, and they even use plants.
I think they might even be past that at this point. I think at this point they just have the meeting to let people vent, and then they don't take any of it into account.
Boston Tea Party said in one of his books that if they ever have a constitutional convention to repeal the Second Amendment, they'll probably do it online instead of all showing up at the same place. For doing it.
Right, right.
You know, which is what Jefferson would do in that situation probably. But, you know, if you mention Jefferson, you're a terrorist now. So we should be careful. You can't quote the Founding Fathers. There's a line in a Right Arm of Wyoming song. The country was founded by guys who are really pissed, but now if you quote the Founding Fathers, you're called a terrorist.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about this shooting in Norway.
I'm surprised it took us half the cast to get there.
Well, you know, it's kind of getting to the point where we have so much backlog of notes, and we just, you know, we can ramble on for 10 minutes on one sentence to where we have stuff that's like breaking news that we haven't even covered from like 3 months ago down this list.
Right, right.
You know, we have this list that I work on every week, and sometimes you add stuff to it, and I send it to you a couple days before we do the cast, and then I usually add some other stuff that you don't even get to see, and I just spring it on you. And it's like a 9-page document, and we only ever get to like 2 or 3 pages of it, and then add more. So,
well, also because we come up with stuff that we've heard and didn't put on the list, you know.
We need to go twice a week, but we don't have the time to do it. We'd have to make money to do that. So if you make donations, if you're on the website, I'll make a suggestion. If we get $100 worth of donations in the next 10 minutes, we'll do 2 casts one of these weeks.
There you go. Or for every week we get $100, we'll, yeah.
There you go. For every $100 we'll get, we'll put in an extra cast.
There you go. Yeah, I like that.
Pay us, bitches. And, you know, it's not like we need to be paid to do it, but it's like we need to be paid to have the time to do that. Because this takes me about 7 hours to edit each cast and the research we do on it. And, you know, we're both busy guys.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's stuff we think about all week.
So Norway.
Norway, yeah. We've been teasing them with the Norwegian, and I guess we ought to get to it. So what were your first thoughts when you heard that Norway was attacked? Did you go the "it must be Muslims" route like a lot of people did here?
No, because I've studied the church burnings in Norway, the black metal church burnings.
So did you think it was Death Clock's affiliates doing this?
I really did. I immediately thought it was some kind of, I mean, when they showed the picture of the guy and he was blonde-haired, blue eyes, and he looked like a James Bond villain, I was like, of course.
Of course.
And they said Scandinavian nationalists. And like, I've read a little bit about Scandinavian nationalism, and it resembles Nazism in a lot of ways. There's even some black metal bands that are Scandinavian nationalists. You know, they said the guy was a Christian right-wing nationalist. And I was like, nationalist is the problem in that sentence, you know.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even classify him as right-wing. He's neocon, if anything. And I consider the neocons, they're babies of the left. You know, they were Trotskyite. They hail to the power of violence and giant government. I would not consider neocons on the right wing. They float with whatever party is going to be killing the most people. You know, he was very scared of Muslims taking over Europe, and this was all sort of an attack on the enablers, the elite enablers that are going to allow this wave of multiculturalist Muslims to come and ruin our European culture. First of all, my first thought is, yeah, okay, there is a big demographic influx of Muslims in Europe. You know, when people make the argument of this in America, I just roll my eyes because there's less than a million people who are Muslim in a country of, you know, 300 million. That's ridiculous in America. But in Europe, there are some fairly large Muslim communities. But my first thought is, if you're that worried about it, old white people in Europe, start f***ing more. Have more sex. Have more babies. Because the problem, and Pat Buchanan writes about this, the problem in the whole Western civilization is our population pyramids are upside down. People don't have babies. And
they
all
do
the
in Wyoming, man. The average family here is like 5 or 6 kids.
They do in
like
Wyoming. They do in Utah. They probably
and
do
in Idaho.
And if
that's true, why is this state still only 500,000 people? I don't understand.
All the kids leave. They don't want to live in Wyoming.
DJ's yelling awesome. In the other room, 4 out of 6 of those kids leave.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what Nima just said.
Yeah, that's my big point is, okay, so you might have an argument that, yeah, if the Europeans don't start boning and stop using condoms and stop worrying about overpopulation destroying the earth, why don't you go about it that route instead of murdering a bunch of children that are Norwegian anyway?
I guess my first response was, God, that's horrible, and kids, you know, whenever yeah. there's kids involved, it's just, it really bugs me a lot. My second thought was, okay, how long till someone says guns need to go? But the thing is, guns are almost illegal in Norway.
Right, right.
And they said this guy had a machine gun, and I don't know if that's just the news reporter getting it wrong like they often do.
They think if it's an AK involved, it was fully automatic every time. Okay. So okay. I don't know. We don't know.
Well, have you ever seen that put that image on the internet? It's supposed to be a poster. It says journalist guides to firearms.
Yeah.
And it's got like 30 different firearms and they all say AK-47 or yeah. you know,
assault rifle.
Assault. Yeah, there's one that's like a 1700 like pepper box gun and it says full auto assault rifle. And then my third thought, I think, was, you know, all these governments were quick to condemn it, the UN and the US, and I do consider the UN a government. They're not as effective as they'd like to be yet. They want to run everything, but, you know, they do govern. And I was just thinking, like, all of these governments that are condemning this do much worse all day, every day, and have throughout history. You know, Obama's killed more kids in Libya and Afghanistan than this guy did in Norway.
Yeah, all day, every day, like 50 times. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, Obama's trying to catch up with George Bush with his warmongering, it yeah. seems like.
Well, I think he might have surpassed him. Or he's well on his way. But yeah, I think that's the point. They don't have the state sanction. I mean, neocons cheer all day long for the government to go out and murder Muslims and murder kids and murder whoever is not bowing before the altar of Obama or Bush or whoever may be in office.
And a lot of those people are people who claim to be in favor of small government, too.
Yeah.
Which is really
and
bizarre.
They're also people that wouldn't go fight themselves.
I do agree with you of the thing of, like, people sending the kids to go fight in a war.
Right, right.
It's the same thing with gun grabbers, too. It's like, gun grabbers want guns taken away forcefully, but they want to send someone else's son and daughter to die to do it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. This Norwegian thing is just horrible. And again, I think we have to bring up the point that no matter what you believe, if you believe that violence is the way to get it, you're wrong.
The guy did look like a Bond villain, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he totally did.
He looked like a certain Bond villain. I can't think of what movie it's in, but yeah.
I'm not sure. Also, I heard he dressed up like a cop when he went yeah. to the children's school and said he was there to check on
them.
Their security
yeah.
because of the bombing.
But I heard an interview with one of the survivors, and she said, like, we knew he wasn't a cop because the cops don't have guns here.
The other thing is, actually, this was my first thought when I was watching it. Me and my wife were eating lunch, and it was on the TV in the restaurant. My first thought was, how come nobody on that island had a gun
yeah,
to fight back?
Yeah, that was my fourth thought.
And really, I mean, I carry my gun damn near everywhere I go, and I hope I never have to use it. But if something like that happened, I mean, that's part of the reason I
carry. And how come someone didn't even tackle him? I mean, there have been mass shooters stopped by people who did not have guns, too. You know,
right.
But I think that in a country where you don't have weapons, it's like self-defense is just not something that comes to mind. I mean,
yeah.
the kids jumped in the ocean like lemmings to try to get away.
Right,
and,
right. Well, you're taught to cower. You're taught not to fight back. It's like in some schools, they say you're going to get in trouble if you fight back. If somebody comes and fights you, you're.
It's like the government self defense class in our movie.
It is exactly the government self defense class.
That was brilliant. You made that up. That was really funny.
All right, thanks for coming back for the second part of this class. Again, my name's Timothy, and I'm from the government, and I'm here to help you. We are now going to assume that I'm going to be the bad guy charging at you, and I need you to take the defensive role we went over. Are you ready?
Yep.
Good job.
Well, actually, I was inspired by my little brother, and I don't want to go into it too far, but...
Why?
Well, when I used to pick on my little brother, he would always cower into a little ball because he knew he couldn't fight me back. And I would always call that his special move. I'd be, you know, like in Street Fighter, they have special moves like fireballs and hurricane kicks. His was curling up in a ball.
doing the hedgehog.
Doing the hedgehog. Yeah, so... I don't know. I guess that's my big argument for... I haven't seen the gun control people come out on this yet. Have you? I don't know if they're waiting till some point, but...
They're probably writing legislation for the UN.
Yeah, but the point is, it's Norway. It's a country that's not like the US. And even the US has, you know, more gun restrictions than I can co-sign, or I wouldn't get on board with any kind of gun restrictions. And here in Norway, where they
I would get on board with... not selling guns to really deranged people. I don't know if that should be something the government does or people do, but...
I wouldn't do... Yeah, exactly. That'd be something people do. If I ran a gun shop and somebody came in and I knew they had killed somebody with a gun before, I personally would not sell to them.
Unless it was in self-defense, but yeah.
Right.
But we have a correction. I said that the Velvet Revolution in Prague, in Czech Republic, was... 1969, it was corrected by Vaclav. It was 1989. I knew that, but I just forgot. The English transcriptions of Guns and Weed are now on Pirate Bay, GunsandWeed.com, and LibertarianPunk.com. If anyone has any reason to want those, they're free.
Free.
So DJ went to the Harry Potter movie without me, which is fine with me because I didn't want to see it. She went while I was still asleep. And, you know, I slept till 2 one afternoon.
Saw a movie by herself, huh?
I was fine with it, and she was too. But she said that there was a turn off your cell phone warning at the beginning that was a John Wayne sound-alike saying, "Hey, Pilgrim, turn off your cell phone. I don't want to have to shoot you."
Yikes.
Which I just mentioned because we had that ongoing thing about that. That's why Lincoln was shot. Right. For talking too loudly in the theater.
Yeah, yeah.
So speaking of movies, you ever seen Ocean's 11, 12, or 13?
I think I saw 11, but all I remember is a blur of cheesy action or whatever it was.
I have a problem with some movies because I don't like cheering on someone who is a thief, you know?
Yeah.
But I actually watched Ocean's 13. And I was able to justify it with my libertarian morality, basically because they're robbing a casino. You know, I don't think people should rob casinos, but I could let myself watch this movie. And it's because casinos basically operate with the government guns on their side.
How so?
That whole thing about outlawing internet poker is something that they put through. And actually, Harry Reid had a lot to do with that. Harry Reid put through a bill to try to legalize online poker, but give a monopoly to the American casinos, to the Nevada casinos in his state.
Ah.
And when that didn't go through, the powers that be went and just shut them all down.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I can see that. Well, were they stealing from a casino that had a lobbying firm?
I don't know, but this casino... basically had its own government. A lot of them do. I mean, they have their own police force, their own investigators, their own spies, their own governments.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Which
if
in a libertarian paradise, we'd be fine with that.
Those are just private security forces.
It was the casino guys that is evil in this.
Okay.
And there's actually kind of a Robin Hood component to it, which I never liked the morality of Robin Hood, you know, socialism. But
yeah.
Maybe it's not in a situation where, you know, it's people robbing from kings to give to paupers when the kings are oppressing the paupers to the point where they're starving. But this was a thing where, like, they were trying to steal, like, you know, $1 billion in diamonds that were on display in the casino. And to create a distraction, they rigged all the machines and card games and dice games so, like, everybody started winning at once.
Okay. Well, I haven't seen it, and I know we review books that we don't read, but I don't know if I want to review Ocean's 13 without seeing it.
So, fatal police shootings are on the rise nationwide.
That doesn't surprise me. What are the stats? I didn't get a chance to look at them.
I think it's partially got to do with just cops being more tyrannical. I mean, I don't condone it, but I'm not surprised. They're up 14% despite decline in violent crime.
Ah, right.
Why do you think that is?
Why police shootings are up?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you... you know, the mentality, the militarization of police. I mean, every small town has its own SWAT team. Cops are taught that officer safety comes first. I was in a sheriff's office today, and in their mission statement, the number one rule was officer safety. And that's sort of their mentality, is no matter what, don't let yourself be hurt. And they take it to extremes. They see anyone as a threat, like we were talking about in the cop blog. You know, often cops will, you know, be thinking in their head, how can I kill this person if they turn on me? And the other thing is just the idea that the state is the final arbiter, and the realization that they can kill somebody and get away with nothing more than paid vacation.
Yeah. I think it also has to do with three strikes laws, and we've talked about that before.
People who are on their third strike, I mean, they'd rather be dead than be getting raped in prison.
Yeah. And really, a lot of the horizontal enforcement with the so-called justice system happens from prison rape and prison abuse and violence. You know, it's like,
yeah, it really does. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like that thing in the Boondocks where, like, the whitish black Uncle Tom DA named Tom, his biggest fear is getting raped in prison.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting anally raped.
Ever since he was a little kid, it's like he wouldn't even smoke a joint because he's afraid he'd get anally raped in prison if he did.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, prisons are a horrible thing. And America has by far the largest prison population, and three strikes laws are completely horrible. I've luckily never lived in a state with one, but I mean, was that on people's minds? Were people talking about, oh, I'm on my third strike, or oh, I got two strikes already? Were people saying that kind of stuff when you lived in Cali?
I think I told you about the only guy I knew who had two strikes was a guy I knew in AA, and he was he didn't even spit on the sidewalk, man. And I remember the one thing I remember was one time, and he was a big dude and really muscular. And I remember this one time outside this meeting, this guy got in an argument with him and was just like up in his face calling him names. And you could tell the guy was just like biting his lip not to punch him.
Yeah.
And I think the guy who was baiting him may have known that too. I don't know.
He knew that he was going to be safe because the government guns were going to throw this guy in jail.
So speaking of non-government guns, a libertarian friend recently said to me, "There's no experience quite like having sex with another man's wife with full permission and him in the room with both of our loaded guns on the nightstand."
Oh, wow. I'm really curious as to who that is. I know we're not going to say it on the air.
I'll say it to you and edit it out. It's we've heard from him before on here.
Okay.
Yeah. But I thought that was pretty funny, and I posted that as my status on Facebook, and nice. It got, you know, 300 replies.
Yeah, man, your Facebook blows up. You mentioned something, you get at least 100 nowadays, huh?
Not always. I mean, I'll post something, and it really isn't based on merit. I'll post something that's really well crafted and really smart and funny, and it'll get no responses. And then I'll post something that is not even as funny or cool, and it'll get 300 responses. And I think it's got to do with the weird algorithms about how Facebook will put a conversation on other people's, will let other people know about it different ways.
I think it just has to, it's the invisible hand, man. I mean, the mass of humanity will always respond in unpredictable ways, which I think is one of that's one of my biggest arguments for anarchy, is that chaos and the way nature takes, the direction nature takes things, is completely unpredictable to humans. I mean, when I used to act, you know, I could never tell which lines were, I mean, there's lines where you could tell that could get a laugh or not, but it was usually the lines I didn't expect to get laughs that would get the biggest laughs.
There's people who try to sell the ability to predict that kind of thing, and it's horse shit.
Yeah.
One example is there are companies who do viral internet marketing, and what goes viral and what doesn't, I mean, there are a few parameters. Usually the things that go viral are short, you know, like videos under 2 minutes, and they usually have simple concepts and they usually have humor. But you can spend a lot of money making something like that and not make it go viral. The only way to make something go viral, and it's not even really viral, is to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to advertise it somewhere else, and it still doesn't go viral. It just gets lots of views.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's not viral. And those things are commonalities. It doesn't mean you put all the ingredients in there and it's going to work. And that's the system that governments operate on. They have these vast studies. They spend all this money and they say, well, these are the commonalities we see in this issue. So if we just do this, this, and this, then everything will work out exactly as planned, and everything will be hunky-dory, and everything will be perfect with our three laws, or however many laws we have. And it never works that way, and it never will, ever.
Yeah, I mean, I co-wrote a book called YouTube, An Insider's Guide to Climbing the Charts, and I wrote it. I was kind of the credited ghostwriter. I was writing it with a guy, who, a friend of mine, Alan Lustufka, who'd never written a book. So I was the book writer to help him write the book. And he has had a bunch of stuff go viral on YouTube. I mean, not like 28 million views, but he's had several videos that have had 1 or 2 million views. And everything he does, you know, he could do a vlog in the morning where he's just reading the phone book, and by the next day it would have 5,000 views. You know, he kind of tried to codify in the book how to make something go viral. And we both totally admitted in the book and in the literature about the book, like, it's really impossible to make this happen, but we can tell you what they have in common and what he's done, you know,
right,
which was all you can really do. And that was honest.
Right. And that's all you can really do, is look at what's happened in the past. So you can't predict the future. You just can't.
And, you know, the formula is almost all viral videos are under 2 minutes, but not all of them. You know, like that that Economist rap thing was well over 2 minutes. That went viral.
The first one or the second one? Which those both are amazing, by the way. I actually prefer the second one by far.
Really?
Yeah.
I like the first one.
And the second one had a...
What's the name of it?
Keynes versus Hayek. I mean, if you Google Keynes versus Hayek, you'll probably find it.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact name of it, but great stuff.
Yeah. So there's a nice response on YouTube sticking up for you. It was to the guy who said, the guy rapping looks like Bin Laden, and that was you.
I've been getting that since high school. You're not original, guy.
777 Joe said, it doesn't matter what he looks like. It's the message that's important. So tell me why I'm getting more constitutional truth from Nima Vedati than I'm getting from John McCain or even from you.
Hell yeah.
Oh, no, this was Uncle Artie1 talking to 777 Joe.
Nice, nice. Well, thank you very much, Uncle Artie. I really appreciate that. Although, yeah, I would never expect to get anything truthful, let alone constitutionally truthful, from John McCain.
Yeah. My friend Justin in Montana said something funny the other day. He says, I shoot a lot. I don't want the world to accumulate too much of an overabundance of ammunition. It could fall into the wrong hands. He's doing his job, keeping the world peaceful by shooting a lot.
By shooting a lot. Hell yeah. Speaking of shooting, I haven't gone in a while, man. I need to get out there. I'm going to go with my little brother when I'm in Texas.
It's one of the few states you cannot open carry in. So. Kind of weird, but it's kind of not. It's kind of weird because you think of Texas as a real gun town, but... it's also really a kind of square town.
Yeah, yeah. Texas reminds me a lot of how I imagine California is in a lot of ways. There's a big police presence in Texas. Law enforcement is huge, and I guess that is part of the stereotype. But I don't ever see how that coincides with small government. And I think people think of Texas as this freedom-loving state, and in some ways, maybe.
It is if you own a ranch and can just stay on it, but
yeah, yeah. And it depends on different localities. I mean, obviously, like other places, if you're in a place like Austin, you're gonna have less freedom than if you're out in the middle of the hill country or on your own farm, like you say. But Texas, you just can't have a lot of freedom when you have a lot of police. They're mutually exclusive. You can have freedom or you can have police. You can't have them both, at least when it comes to government police. I guess we could put that caveat there.
Yeah. Have you heard the term Facebook minute?
No, I haven't. What is it?
It's funny. It's, you know, I'll see you in a Facebook minute, or it took me a Facebook minute. It's when you go on Facebook to, like, check one thing, and then you end up on there for, like, an hour.
That usually doesn't happen to me, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. That's why nothing you post blows up.
That's true. Well, I don't really post anything. I can't even think of the last status I put.
Part of the way that site works is that the more you're on it, the more you kind of have a following of people that pay attention to what you post.
Right.
And
right.
The algorithms work in your favor the more you're on there too. Like, it will put your stuff not just on people's feed, but like over on the right, like, check out the conversation by, you know.
Yeah. 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 And you post quite a lot and mostly good stuff. I usually want to jump in and join.
Yep. So, Thomas Jefferson on patents.
You want me to read it? Okay, I'll just read it. If nature has made any one thing less susceptible than all others of exclusive property, it is the action of the thinking power called an idea, which an individual may exclusively possess as long as he keeps it to himself. but the moment it is divulged, it forces itself into the possession of everyone, and the receiver cannot dispossess himself of it. Its peculiar character, too, is that no one possesses the less, because every other possesses the whole of it. He who receives an idea from me receives instruction himself without lessening mine, as he who lights his taper at mine receives light without darkening me. That ideas should freely spread from one to another over the globe for the moral and mutual instruction of man and improvement of his condition seems to have been peculiarly and benevolently designed by nature, when she made them like fire expanse over all space without lessening their density in any point, and like the air in which we breathe, move, and have our physical being, incapable of confinement or exclusive appropriation. Inventions, then, cannot, in nature, be a subject of property. I think that's beautiful. Yeah, yeah.
You know, basically it sounds like he was not in favor of intellectual property laws.
No, and that's the same argument we made last time in our anarchist discussion of IP. Stealing and copying are two completely different things. And like Jefferson says here, I think he puts it beautifully, once an idea is out there, you can't own it. It's impossible because you can't own the contents of somebody else's mind. If somebody else hears that idea, it immediately becomes something that's in their mind. They build on it themselves. And because every person is infinitely unique, that idea is not the same idea as yours because it's colored by that person's history and their own experiences. So the idea that the government can come and take away your property or force you from starting a business because somebody else had an idea before, I think is just something that prevents true progress from happening in our country.
You know, there was only one U.S. president who's owned a patent. Do you know who it was?
I want to say Washington, but I don't know.
Nope, it was Lincoln.
Ah, of course
it was.
Of course it was.
Yeah, he had patent number 6469 for a device to lift boats over shoals, a device that was never manufactured.
Lift boats over shoals. What do you mean by shoals?
Places in the water where it's not deep.
Ah.
You know, my great-grandfather invented the cattle chute, and someone stole it from him.
The cattle chute. You mean like where the cattle are before they go out and get ridden by the cowboys?
No, it's basically a thing for sorting it. It's a narrow
fence on each
side,
yeah.
So only one cow can go at a time. And then there's a door that goes two different ways to two different chutes. And one's like to the slaughterhouse and the other's like back to the pen or whatever they want to do whenever they sort them.
Yeah.
These cattle chute. And my great-grandfather invented that. And some guy stole it from him and made millions and millions of dollars on it.
Yeah. Well, he didn't steal it.
There you go.
He copied it. He copied it. And, you know, if your grandpa had patented that and then never done anything because he never had the inkling to, the world would have been short that invention. And we would have all been poorer because of it.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, to me, hip-hop is a perfect example. I've probably talked about this before, but I mean, imagine how much greater music would be and how many more artists we'd have out there if, you know, anybody could sample anybody and put it out there on the web for free and didn't have to worry about getting lawyer letters or anything like that. I think you'd have more than just Kanye using all the good samples. I mean, now the only people that can make really great sampled music and have it be put out there are people who can afford the thousands or millions of dollars to pay the giant labels to clear their samples. So as a result...
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that isn't like that, though, that's great, too. Our stuff.
Well, totally. I'm not saying you need to sample to have great music. I'm just saying in that genre and in that sound, you have not a monopoly, but you have a restricted field because only people who can pay these samples to be cleared because of the government manipulation of the marketplace, they're the only ones who can get out there. I mean, it's basically Kanye and people like him who can come up with that sound now. You know, I can't make a song like that and try to sell it because I'll get a lawyer letter.
I sampled on my Right Arm of Wyoming record. I'll play a little bit of each of these in here. It's on the song Redistribution of Theft, the drum beat that's all the way through it. Is a sample of Tony Fagg from my band Bomb playing drums at the beginning of a song called Vagrant Vampires. but I didn't ask him permission or tell him or credit him or give him money.
Good.
Well, he owes me a burrito from 1986.
Nice.
and he knows it. Like, there was a time I bought him a burrito and he said, I'll pay you back. And it kind of became a running joke of like for years of like, when are you going to pay me that $4.20 for buying you lunch?
Fair
and he's
enough.
Like, later. So, you know, I just took it by sampling him.
Well, did you have the original recording? I mean, did you have the original it was recorded on? Because I feel like I can sample anybody that I've recorded in my studio. I could take some guitar riffs that we never used from the movie and put them on a song. I don't think you'd be upset, would you?
No.
No.
You owe me a burrito.
I don't think I've ever seen you eat a burrito. There's no good burritos in Casper.
I know. I used to live on burritos in L.A., man, and San Francisco, because they're great there. When I lived in L.A., before I met DJ and we moved in together, I used to live in this little Cracker Box apartment in Echo Park, L.A., which is where most of the Shield takes place, you know, kind of the hood.
Yeah.
And there was a burrito place that was great, like one block from my house, and they had like $3.25 giant chicken and rice and bean burritos. And pretty much every day, I could only afford to eat like one big meal a day. And I would go get a burrito and bring it home and then sit on my back porch and share it with my cat, Charlie.
Nice. The Charlie I know, right?
The Charlie you know. I've had Charlie for 10 years.
Nice. Nice.
So let's close up with reading these reviews of Ray Nagin's self-published book.
Remind people who Ray Nagin is.
Ray Nagin, we talk about him in the movie. Lou talks about him in the movie. He's the gun-grabbing mayor of New Orleans who... During Hurricane Katrina, he had the National Guard and the local police go door to door and confiscate people's guns. He self-published a book called Katrina's Secrets, Storms After the Storm, Volume 1. Like, there's going to be a Volume 2. But read some of the Amazon reviews.
Okay. What an amazing piece of fiction. Nagin, who ruled over the most corrupt administration in a long time in New Orleans and who is an avowed racist, has made up a fascinating fairy story.
I know, the book's supposed to be nonfiction, but everybody basically says it's all made up. One of the reviews was just one word. It was delusional.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is one of the worst books I've ever read. Ray Nagin should be ashamed of himself. What a load. The next one, self-published for a reason. It's like, it must be really bad, and here we're reviewing a book we haven't read, but...
Well, we're reading other people's reviews. That's a bit different.
I mean, that guy could get a book published on a major publisher, you know?
Yeah, he could. Unfortunately, if you've been part of the tax-eating, evil politician class, then yeah, you can get a book deal. People worship you. A certain class of people always will.
Yeah. Ray Nagin is a racist piece of trash that is attempting to rewrite history with his self-published filth. As mayor, and now after, he is a self-serving sleaze. The only thing this book is good for is toilet paper.
Which you might need if you're in a disaster and Ray Nagin is the mayor of your city.
There you go. Save it for the next hurricane.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's all I got. You got any more, brother man?
No, I'm chilling. Just wish me well in Texas. I'm about to go see my peeps down in the beautiful state. It is a beautiful state. I know we hate on the police there and the government there, but Texas, as far as the people and the land, that's the place I want to be. So I am going to enjoy myself. I'm going to chill by the beach. Going to go eat at Beano's on the beach in Galveston. Going to chill at the beach house in La Porte. Oh, man, I'm going to have a great time.
Word to your mother.
Yeah.
Tell your mother she did a good job with you.
All right.
All right.
I will, man. Later. Peace.
Peace.
love, niggas pushing on my mom, doesn't make you cry, shaking me, 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 shaking me,
Fiends Podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every Friday night, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them.